Holly Richardson.
So I'm actually with Out Now, the organization. Arise, the organization, and the Statewide Harm Reduction Coalition. So I'll tell you a little bit about that, and I'll tell you a little bit about me. So first of all, Out Now is an organization in Springfield, and it's a queer youth organization. And Arise for Social Justice, probably many of you have heard of it, is a poor people's rights anti-oppression organization. And we collaborate on a lot of efforts together, Arise and Out Now. And the two organizations are a part of this larger coalition that we call SHARC, or the Statewide Harm Reduction Coalition. And at this point, SHARC has 20 organizations in it from around the state of Massachusetts. And while Out Now has its own mission of queer liberation, and Arise has its own mission of doing poor people's rights organizing and anti-oppression work, we and the other 18 organizations from around the state come together to stop the construction of the Chicopee Women's Jail, certainly to oppose the Greenfield Men's Jail and all new jail expansion. And we've been also really focused on getting needle exchange in the city of Springfield. So those have kind of been the things we've been focusing on within the coalition. And all of the organizations have their own missions and their own pieces of work. But we come together in this coalition to really try to stop this mass jail expansion from occurring. So who am I? My name is Holly Richardson. I am 40 years old. I was born in Northampton. I have been here forever. I grew up in the hill towns. As far away as I got was Springfield, where I spent just about 10 years of my life and feel very aligned and connected to the community there. And in fact, when I was getting ready to figure out in high school what I was going to do with myself, I wasn't a very good student. I was an athlete, but I didn't do well in school. And I knew I was queer, and it wasn't okay to be out in any way back then. And I remember standing in front of my locker one day and thinking, if I don't get out of here, I will die. And I also knew that I wasn't a good student, and I wasn't likely to get out of here by getting into college. But I hung out with all of the National Honor Society people, oddly enough, and they were all just applying to school, so I did the same thing, not knowing what I was doing. No one had gone to school in my family. In fact, having your high school diploma was the thing to have. Where I grew up, I also grew up in a farming family. So folks were truck drivers and farmers, and they wondered what I was doing, even applying to school, because why? So I did get into a school. I got into one, and I went. And off to Springfield, which was Mars to my family, I went. So they pretty much sent me off saying, maybe we'll see you someday. Surely they weren't going to come visit me because Springfield was Mars, and they didn't know how to get there. Northampton was the city. We came to the city shopping. So Northampton is much bigger today than it was when I was growing up, if that gives you any idea of where I come from. So I'm saying all that just to kind of lay a foundation of thinking about how it is that I've come to be working so hard to stop this jail. Let's be right up front. I'm white, right? Surprise, surprise. So I'm not directly impacted in the way that people of color are impacted, but I know something about the criminalization of people, right? And we surely are living in a time where we're criminalizing people very differently than even when I was growing up. So let me take you back again for a minute and just share a quick story. When I was a child, I grew up with my mother and my father for a while in one of the hill towns, and my father struggled greatly. He was a farmer, and he would kind of wander away from the hill towns and find himself in New York or Vermont, and he would end up in hospitals there, and he would then be transported back here because he would be wandering around, wander into an emergency room saying, I should have been a girl. I should have been a girl. So he would be taken back here home to Northampton to the state hospital, where he went this route many, many times until at age 30, he committed suicide. So I think of that in terms of what's happening today, even around mentally ill folks, right? They're not institutionalized anymore. They're criminalized and sent to jail. This is where we're warehousing folks who, and certainly he wouldn't have even been deemed with a mental illness had he been able to even kind of check out this notion of gender, right? But surely back then that wasn't even a thought. So he was mentally ill, he was institutionalized, and eventually didn't survive. So today, where are we? Right? Boy, we are criminalizing the certain groups of people so intensely. And you pretty much can follow these themes by zip code, right? What zip code do you live in? Okay, if you live in Springfield and you're in 01105, 01103, 01119, those are highly incarcerated communities. You don't need to know a whole lot more than that, right? So then you can put the pieces together. They're poor communities, communities of color mainly. So I'm going to move to tell you a little bit about the specifics of the Chicopee jail and what's kind of going on in Ludlow. Ludlow right now is where women are incarcerated from mostly from Western Mass, and that's not always been the case. They used to go off to MCI Framingham, but Sheriff Ash in Hampden County was so nice to open up a part of the men's jail to women. So for a little over 10 years now, women have been incarcerated in Ludlow, and the sheriff there has been saying for many years, women need to have their own freestanding, autonomous facility. And it would be a state-of-the-art facility, he tells us. But anyway, so in the women's jail in Ludlow, there's currently 139 women. Okay, so I'm going to just give you a little of the lowdown of who's there. Of the 139 women, 51 are in for pretrial status. Okay, that leaves 88 sentenced. 88 women are sentenced. 51 are awaiting trial. The 51 that are awaiting trial are poor. They're not out on bail. They can't make bail. So there are 51 folks that are just waiting for their trial, sometimes a year or a year plus. Of the 88 sentenced, there are approximately 78 who are sentenced for nonviolent offenses. Okay, so if we really think about who we're incarcerating, we have mostly nonviolent offenders. They're mostly in for drug-related and prostitution-related charges. If we didn't incarcerate those folks, we wouldn't even need that many beds, right? The folks in the inside of the jail themselves say that approximately 49.9% of the women who are incarcerated at Ludlow are appropriate for an intermediate sanction or an alternative to incarceration. So we could cut some of these numbers right in half, and what happens is we end up getting down to about 61 beds in use if we were to continue to keep in the violent offenders, which I would argue really don't even need to be in there anyway. So what are we looking at? The sheriff of Hampden County has proposed that we spend $27 million to build a new women's jail in Chicopee. At this point, it looks like it would offer up to 240 beds. So you remember the numbers I just laid out. If we diverted nonviolent offenders back into the community, we're really looking at a total of maybe 60 beds, including the quote-unquote violent pretrial offenders, right? But yet they're proposing that we now house 240 women. Another proposal that they've sent in would allow for up to 352 beds for women in Chicopee. So we are strongly and greatly opposed to this and offended by it. The sheriff's department says that this would allow us to help the women. So what they're suggesting is that women can come to jail, and you can then have all of your health care needs met. You can maybe get your GED. You can maybe detox, right? And we are saying no way. Hell no. No new jails. We want the money. We want the money put into the community first. So this is a real half-assed, backwards way of helping people, right? It's the craziest notion. And I think that we all really have to get educated on this and outraged about it, because it's just so ludicrous. And people from the inside of that jail really believe that they're doing the right thing. They really believe in their heart of hearts that they are helping people. And it's one of these cases where good intentions can do harm, because what happens is, in our state, the Department of Corrections continues to get increases in their budget over everything else. In fact, last year, in 2004, the DOC had a budget of $860 million, and the Massachusetts higher education budget was $816 million. Right? That's not to say that Springfield spends $8,000 per student per year, and to incarcerate one woman per year in Ludlow is $55,000. Do you think that if any of those women had the $55,000 that they'd be in jail in the first place? We're talking about poor people. right? When folks over here are talking about society evolving, right? In fact, in this case, we're devolving because we continue to try to solve all of our issues by incarcerating people. And we are not going to incarcerate our way out of these problems. We're just not going to. We're talking about social problems, including unemployment, no housing, addictions, which, by the way, we see as a public health issue, not as a criminal justice issue at all. So I'm seeing I'm sort of getting the end here. But what I want to say is I hope that you'll all ask some more questions and get involved in our campaign. There's information on the back table there. We have monthly meetings. We have a whole lineup of demonstrations planned for the month of April, because you've all probably read the newspaper where the sheriff has come out saying they're expecting that the money is going to be approved, that the construction company will be assigned the project, and that they're hoping the ground will break in May. So what I want to say before anyone gets too nervous about that is that we've been here before, and one of the construction companies in Springfield was already 2 years ago assigned the project, and the governor at that point announced all new jail projects were on hold. So that almost gave us a year of him announcing that the project was on hold, which we were thrilled about. Then he gave us a little sneak attack in August and said it was moving forward, and so was the Greenfield Jail, which I'm sorry I can't tell you a whole lot about right now because I'm going to run out of time. So I just think we need to really question the way that we're spending money. I know people are always concerned about treatment for addictions. I want to encourage you to also follow the money trail there, because there's a lot of pushes to get drug courts up and running, to make sure that people are diverted to treatment, not jail. This keeps the money in the Department of Corrections, in the criminal justice system. All it does is move it around some. People will continue to be under surveillance in ways that they're set up for failure. It doesn't liberate anybody. It doesn't free anybody up. And in fact, there's a whole lot of information out there saying that drug courts are a failure. They're really not offering what they say they're going to offer, and instead just ends up refunneling money into the hands of the same kind of people that are already working within the prison industrial complex business, right? It's big business. So I just want to encourage you to follow the money trail. So it's one of the things we try to do in our coalition is figure out what we're going to support, what we're going to oppose, and we tease that out some by virtue of who stands to benefit, and will our campaign be taking a brick out of the wall of the prison industrial complex, or will we be putting some more mortar in to support it, right? And we kind of see mandatory treatment as that. So having said that, I'll wrap up, and I hope that folks will ask some questions and join us in our work.